something.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, Brownsburg was an interesting place. It really was.
What do you think about the museum?
I think it's marvelous. Just marvelous, Isabel. You know, of course, I went through all the thing of trying to raise money and everything for the Marshall Foundation. I know that was a completely different thing, but it does take money,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to take money. Do you all have plans? Do you?
We have a fundraising committee.
Okay.
I don't know if you know Alan and Mary Rutherford Ferguson. They're from Richmond, but their house was on the tour 2 years ago. They live out. It was the house that Chunk Neal built, I think.
Oh yeah! Oh Lord, yes. Yes, I remember that.
They are our fundraising chair people, and they have a lot of
connections.
Richmond.
Well, now, do they live here?
Their son was the opera singer who did the concert.
Oh, yes. Golly, I love that. That was just marvelous. And everybody loved those last songs. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, they wouldn't let him quit.
We have a fundraising goal of $225,000. We think it'll take about $150,000 to get the building in shape. We have a lot of people who are kind of donating some time to work on the building. And then we'd like to raise another $75,000 to help start to acquire things and, you know, the pieces inside, and then to fund the little endowment. But
gosh, you think that's enough?
I don't know.
$100,000 doesn't go very far, does it?
No.
Well, do you plan to keep somebody there? I mean,
I don't think it's going to be a full-time staff.
It'll be a volunteer.
Sort of a volunteer docent basis, and maybe we'll just be open on weekends.
Yeah.
We're not that far along yet, but we're getting ready to start putting together an acquisitions committee, and Tom Lutzenberg from WNL, with the Reeves Center, is going to help us.
Oh my goodness!
With that, he's going to help.
Where does he live?
He's in Lexington.
Well, I didn't think he lived out there.
No.
But he's just interested.
He's interested.
That's marvelous.
And he's going to help us sort of get focused on what we want to collect and what our exhibit should look like. And
exactly. Well, my gosh, you really got the right people in
place. I think we do. I don't know if you know Catherine Mirabella. She and her husband live in Lexington now, but they're building between Brownsburg and Bustleburg up there. You know where that little spring is along the road?
Oh, sure.
They're building up there above that.
Oh, I know them. They live right behind my friend Marty Gans.
Probably.
Exactly. I just don't know the name.
She,
and I have met them.
She, was assistant curator at the diplomatic reception rooms at the State Department.
Oh my gosh.
And she's interested in doing a lot of work.
Well,
and she's actually kind of got our oral history project jump started.
Well,
she got us some training in oral history, and so she's...
That's marvelous, for goodness sakes.
But we need to call on you at some point.
I would love to help. Well, boy, I really have. But anyway, I would love to do it. Time is elder. You know, I let myself be elected elder in our church.
Mm-hmm. It's a big job.
And I didn't realize how much. You know, Boyd had always done it, and he just was out and gone, and I didn't paint it. But this was the third time that they asked me, and finally I just... Because I go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm a religious soul, but I just, you know, I just go. And so this time I said, now, you know, it's now or never. Because I'm 79, and how long am I going to be around? Or
you,
able
you're
to?
Going to be around a long time.
Well, I hope so. But I just knew it was so. I said, okay, I'll. So that just takes. So I don't know, but anyway, I am interested in it. I surely am, and I just am pleased to death. But you all have the right people, for goodness sake.
We're so lucky.
Absolutely.
We have on the museum steering committee. Well, Dick Barnes is the chair.
And he is a crackerjack. He knows this stuff, and he's raised money.
Mm-hmm.
Good gosh.
And then the Fergusons are, they're big money raisers in Richmond.
Well, of course, and they've got money. Yep. Anybody that could take that house and turn it into what they did.
And Frank Parsons.
Oh, of course, I know Frank, the Lord's sake.
And you probably know Marcia.
Marcia, I know Marcia, absolutely. I'll be done.
And Marie Patterson, Marie Coleman, is on the committee as sort of the educational person to make sure that we have, you know, educational programs.
Right.
So I think we have a really nice,
well-rounded. I just think it, well, you do. You're just as lucky as you can be that all these people decided, you know, to bring their expertise. And look at you and your husband, young and enthusiastic, for heaven's sakes. I just think it's marvelous that you're doing it. I really do. Mm-hmm. Because it's unusual that a place like Brownsburg did not get all chopped up.
Mm-hmm.
Like Fairfield, mm-hmm. Let's face it. It's just a blessing. There, and it just tickles me to death. You know, I was telling Catherine that Bosworth house. I mean, that house used to have a front porch all the way across. Now she says, "Well, Lou, how did they do that? The sidewalk." I said, "Well, the sidewalk went on the other side of it because they had a porch." And just imagine how pretty mm-hmm. that would be. I don't know whether Catherine would ever.
I love driving by her house. She has the best geranium in the window of her house. That geranium is gorgeous.
Well, I'm glad. You know, my geraniums, I buy six of them every year. Every year they have been so pretty. This year I threw four of them away. So I don't know what happened. I went to Shaner's like I always do. Mm-hmm. And you, I've got one little bloom out there. You'll see when you go back out. But she keeps hers inside.
She has a big one inside. She said, "I'm not a houseplant person, but my mother gave it to me." She said, "And it's doing well in that window, so I'm just leaving it there."
Just leave it there.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. Well, I remember the Boswiths had vines around that, and they had a swing in the back end of that porch by where that window is. And you step down to the sidewalk.
Who lived where Joe Heath lives now?
Well, I remember one time that O.C. Supinger and Matty Wade bought it. And nobody lived in it for a while. And the Wades that I'm talking about, Margaret, Tootsie, yeah. She and her family lived in it. I think they rented it from Maddie and O.C. And then Maddie, I believe, came up there and lived all the time until she died, I think. See, I was gone by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember back before Maddie and O.C. buying it and the Wades went in there. I was in there a lot when the Wades were in there, but I don't remember anything behind that. But you know, the school teacher lived in there too, in that house. That I went down there to their auction sale. I wonder what the heck his name was. He was the principal.
After Miss Truman.
Oh yeah, long time after. Yeah, good heavens. We were living up here then, long time after that. And I don't remember his name, but he and his wife lived in that house before. What's her name? Heath, the Heaths,
mm-hmm.
before
mm-hmm.
they bought it. And then it was in really bad shape. And gosh, they did a beautiful job of redoing
mm-hmm.
it. It's
looks
beautiful
really
house.
On the outside.
Yeah. It's but you know, I'm not sure that Miss Trooper didn't lived in my house one time. I really am not. Seems to me that I can remember her coming in on that. There's an upstairs back porch. I don't know about that. I can't really remember. But see, Molly Sue and Fred lived over there in at that house right across the street there. Remember
that?
The Whipples, I think the Whipples, Dorothy Whipples always owned it.
Oh, the big square house.
Uh-huh. And yeah. Molly Sue and Fred lived in that a long time. And then
and then
Claudia.
His parents were still alive and living in it.
Mm-hmm. Living down there. And Claudia and Douglas. Claudia and Douglas. Their children were born. I keep telling Virginia, that who lives down below me, I remember her when her mother, we were living in Aunt Hattie's house right across the street, and her mother would go down the street. She's tiny little thing, one kid on each hip. I love.
Yeah, Mrs. Whipple was little.
Tiny little person. She had these two curly-headed little kids. And then Molly Sue, I guess Molly Sue and Fred been moved down to the Whipple's big house when Miss Whipple died or something. Molly Sue didn't teach me, but she was a good, she came over from Goshen to teach first grade.
She was my second grade teacher.
Was she your second?
She's one of my favorite teachers ever.
Oh, of course. Well, she was Marge Ann's, one of her favorite teachers. As a matter of fact, she took it was Pookie, Doody, and Tootsie. They were all in her class, and she took them over to Goshen to spend the weekend with her. Pookie, Doody, and Tootsie. I never have been able to call Marge Ann Pookie. I just can't do it. And I call her Marge Ann, but almost everybody calls her Pookie. I think that's a horrible name. But anyway, but Miss Trimmer, the whole time I went to school, she retired the year we graduated in 1944, and went back down to what is the name of that little place right outside of Richmond. Anyway, her brother lived down there, and we always heard a lot about her brother, and that's where she went to spend the summers. And so when she retired, that's where she went. And I talked with Brent, with Jeff Swisher, who, does that name mean anything to you?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they lived over on the Walker's Creek. He was ahead of me in school, but anyway, I talked with him not long ago, and he lives in Richmond now. And he said he saw her, Miss Trimmer's death, in the newspaper, and he said, I was going to her funeral. He was going by himself, and he got out there on the road someplace, and it was pouring down rain. And he didn't really know exactly where to go. And he said, I said to myself, nobody will know me, and nobody will care. And so he turned around and went back home. So that's the only way I know that she did die. But there was another strange event with Miss Trimmer. I took Marilyn Price, her Marilyn's husband, he's kin to all the Prices who were missionaries and so forth around here to China and so forth. Anyway, but they had lived in California, and they came back here, and Dr. Price was the doctor at the health department for the county here, and they live out there on 11 across from where Woody's place is. Anyway, his wife Marilyn had cancer, and we had to take them back and forth to Roanoke to take treatment. And I was taking her down to Roanoke one day, this has been since I retired, because I wouldn't have been doing it before. Anyway, we were coming out what is the big road out onto the interstate? Anyway, we were coming out there after her treatment, and we were just yakking and talking, and I said something about Miss Trimmer. And I said, I'm sure you've heard about Miss Trimmer, because all the years you've been here, you've certainly heard. She said, Lou, I not only have heard about Miss Trimmer, I know Miss Trimmer. I said, you what? I mean, Marilyn is a little bit older than I am, but not much. And she said, yes, indeed. She said, I was, Miss Trimmer left school in 1944, left Brownsburg. And she said, I was over at the University of Virginia. She was from upstate New York. She'd come down to the University of Virginia to go to college. And she was taking some special courses or something. And she got to know this lady whose name was Ossie Trimmer. And she said she had sort of orangey hair and she wore it back. Well, that could be nobody else. And she said she was a best friend of mine. And she said, I was dating another guy who was going to be a lawyer. And I was dating her husband. God, his name's gone out of my head. Anyway, she was dating him. She was dating both of them. She just couldn't decide which of them she'd go marry. I talked to O.C. about it, and now she came out, well, now, there's no question in my mind, you're going to marry Dr. Price. What, I can't remember his first name. You're going to marry him. And she said, I did. Now, can you believe that? I mean, what are the chances? I said, Marilyn, I'm sure you're telling the truth, but I am going to run this car off the road. I cannot believe it. So apparently, she had gone down there to live. Well, she wasn't the kind that could sit, you know, on her butt. And she came back, Marilyn said, this lady came back to the University of Virginia and renewed her certificate. And Marilyn just happened to meet her, and there she was. Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, these things just happen all the time. I don't know why I remember all this dumb stuff, but there it was. I could not believe it when Marilyn told me that.
That's amazing.
I'll bet you she taught school mm-hmm. until she died. Mm-hmm. Because she was so used to being in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she couldn't go and sit down. She's like me. I mean, I learned to play golf. I got a computer. I've got to do things.
Yeah, yeah.
None of them I do well, but I can't help it. I just can't sit still. So I can understand why she would be there. But to me, and Marilyn, she's a cute little lady. She still is. I hope you meet Marilyn, and I'm sure you will. Get all this thing going, because she's interested in Brownsburg and so forth. But she's the one, she says she had all sorts of allergies when she was a kid, and she couldn't do things like play sports and all that, because she didn't. And so she started doing physical exercises and that sort of stuff, and did them all of her life. And she when the physical stuff started coming around, she started doing that at our church. And just about every woman who's ever been through the Presbyterian Church has taken Marilyn's exercise classes. It's just unbelievable. And so Dr. Price retired a few years ago, and I took them twice a week. You had to be there at 8 o'clock. She's like Miss Trimmer, man. She didn't mean 8:30. She meant 8. You'd be there at 8. And you get your stuff down and your clothes on and you're ready to go at 8:30. And it was just marvelous. She was great at it. She did it every Tuesday and Friday. So when he retired, he asked her to retire too, because he said, you know, they have 5 kids and all over, and he wanted her to be free to go and so forth. So she did, but in the meantime, she made us a tape, and we do the tape, and for some reason, guess who picked it up? See, I can't keep my mug shot, Isabel.
You haven't learned to sit on your hands. And
okay. Anyway, so we go every Tuesday, and she says she does them at home. When she's there, she does them on Tuesday and does the same things. And one time we lost our tape, and she did another one for us.
That's how you're staying young.
Well, it really does. It really helps. Now, this summer, we didn't do it July and August because they had to do the air conditioning up there, and that's mm-hmm, expensive. Mm-hmm. And then Doug, bless his heart, he's this sexton in our church, and he is, you know Doug. Doug, what is Doug? Not Stuart. Doug. What is Doug's last name? His he lives down there. You know the alley that goes down where Francis and Ruth live in Brownsburg.
Oh, right.
Down there. He lives down there with his mother in a trailer or something. Doug, what is Doug's last name? Well, I think Isabel's his grandmother, Isabel.
So
he's the sexton of our church, and he's marvelous. He's the greatest thing. And he goes in and turns the air conditioning on and puts our chairs in every Tuesday and Friday. And he's just great. And all that fire we had, we could have done it without Doug and our young minister, the fact that we had a young minister. But anyway, Doug is just great. What in the world is Doug's? You know, all those black people kind of run together. His mother married Isabel's son, and he kind of was a ne'er-do-well. But his mother is just really a marvelous. She worked for Randall and his wife.
I don't know who that is.
Why can't I think of his last name? I always want to call him Stuart because I know that there's that connection. But, anyway. I had a church bulletin and things on that. Anyway, he's marvelous. He really was. So we stopped having him because we weren't having but four or five. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, because people go away in the summer and it wasn't worth it. So we did. But that's the first time, because we've always had it right on through the summer and everything. So, and it really does help. It makes you feel better.
That's
it
great. Really You're does. Doing that twice a week.
Oh, yeah, twice a week. And it just, and it's real aerobics. I mean, because she says that's the only thing that has kept her alive, because she just had so many allergies mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. Hmm. But anyway. It was a great thing, and it's amazing. I mean, a lot of these ladies who are 85 now, 90, said, "Well, gosh, I took Marilyn's exercise class." So Mary Brady. I mean, Mary, she must be 90. I don't know. All of these ladies did. And of course, I was working, and I didn't have time to even think about it. But boy, the minute I retired, I got in it.
Mary Brady still does flowers at the Jackson House once a week.
Yeah, I know. She really is something. And in the winter, summertime, she lives out there in that great old big house by herself. I wouldn't live out there if she'd give it to me. Ooh, it's too big. By herself. I mean, this house is big for me.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine living, and it's old. Of course, they did a beautiful job of redoing it. But she does come in now and live in her house here in the summer. I mean, in the winter, so that she doesn't have to move snow. But her daughter says, her daughter lives in California now, and she says she's coming back and going to live out there someday.
I met her at the Jackson House one day this summer. She and her daughter were here going to horse camp.
Yeah, exactly.
At the horse center.
Right, right. Well, I'll show you a picture in here that she did. That's the last time I saw her too, and the daughter's as big as she is.
I didn't see the daughter.
You didn't see the daughter? Yeah, the daughter was with her at church. And but anyway, it's been an interesting ride. It really is. It really has. And I get myself in some of the darndest of things. But I keep moving.
Good for you.
I keep moving. I really do.
That's the secret, I think.
Yeah. And I think always going to New Providence, you know, that was marvelous for a kid like me. I mean, I loved going to Massanutta. I went to Massanutta every year on up until I went to the Pioneers, and then I went to the whatever the next until I guess I was about ready to graduate from high school. And my sister went one time.
It didn't work.
No, sir, she didn't like that thing. And Mildred Carwell went one year. And you know, Mildred is a little bit older than I was. I mean, I didn't think Mildred had any problems. She was the most homesick thing you ever saw. She never would go back. But I loved Massanutta. I had the best time every year. And that was all New Providence. I'd never gone. And then I got to know all these Timber Ridge people because they stayed in the same, we stayed in their cabin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And but the church was always, and Mother and Dad went all the time, you know, and it was always just an annex of our life. I mean, and the chrysanthemum show.
Oh.
I mean, my gosh, I'm sure you've heard your parents,
mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not your parents, but Mary and Mac talk about the chrysanthemum show. We had a chrysanthemum show that was a show. And all of us kids raised chrysanthemums and then took them out there. And I remember one chrysanthemum show that we had. It was unusual. I don't know who. I guess Dr. Hannah was still there. And Mary Lotz, I don't know if you remember her, but anyway, she's another character. She sewed all the time, and she they took one of our Sunday school rooms upstairs that has those little catechism rooms,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and made little shows, put a thing in, and made little shows. And the one that sticks in my mind was because my sister had a Shirley Temple doll. It was about that big, and they asked her if they could use her doll for the bride, and they did a bride and groom, and Mary made all of the clothes for the bride. Just gorgeous. The woman could sew like you wouldn't believe, and made and used somebody's doll and made a tuxedo for him and had all the bride. See, it was just so pretty that it sticks in my mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they had flowers all around that, and they did had little windows in all of that Sunday school room. The one at the top of the top floor,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
the top of the top floor. That was the one that they did. And all of us kids used to start our chrysanthemums, and then we would have them all to bring out there in the fall to the chrysanthemum show. See, it was just a never, and then we all had to recite our catechisms, the child's catechism and the shorter. And by that time, we were ready to help somebody teach Sunday school, you see? So we were, we were always, or sing in the choir. And Randall told me that he remembered New Providence as a time his mother, you know who I'm talking
mm-hmm,
about.
She taught me piano.
Okay, all right, of course, okay. Well, his mother came over here from someplace else, Charlottesville or somewhere, to teach school, in Brownsburg to teach school, and met his father. And that's when they bought this home place out there. And what was I beginning to tell you, for the Lord's sake?
We're talking about the choir and...
Oh, yes, the church. Of course, they've gotten... All right. Then when... Ms. Wade was a big musician, and Mr. Wade had a gorgeous singing voice, apparently. I don't remember him, Randall's father. And they had special people who could come and sing in the choir. You had to be you had to have special training.
You had to audition for the choir as
well. You couldn't just come and decide that, you know, you wanted to participate. You couldn't do that. I mean, I didn't know any of that until Randall told me. And Randall's 10 years older than I was. And I'm sure he got all this from his mother. You know, that that just a hoi polloi couldn't come and sing. I just couldn't believe that. But apparently it was true.
Wow.
It really was. But by the time I came along, see, everybody, Elsie Wade used to play the organ. She went off and married somebody. But she was she wasn't married, whatever you call those people now. Miss Carrie Lucas, who lived down in Newport, the two of them went with us to Massenet all the time, and they were our chaperones. And for some reason, I got in the choir. I don't know, maybe Mac got in the choir. Mac was on a farm. He didn't go, I don't imagine he went to Massenet.
I don't think I ever heard him talk about it.
I bet he'd have talked about it. Richard, the Beards went all the time. They were on the farm, but they made, all three of them went. But anyway, I don't remember Mac, so maybe he probably didn't go. But but then, you know, they sort of let the bar down. And I remember you were asking about Janet. She got in the choir. Monotone! I'd never in my life heard anybody else who was a true monotone. I couldn't, that was just beyond me. But anyway, also the other was beyond me too. I mean, I never felt any of that in New Providence, you know. But I'm sure it had been there.
Mm-hmm.
It had been there over the years. And of course, you know that the black people sat up on the balcony, mm-hmm. but that's where they wanted to sit, you know. They didn't have any desire. To sit any place else, but they felt they were a member of New Providence too. And we were talking about Dad and the bus. We didn't, at that time, I guess Dad sold the car in order to buy the bus. Anyway, Dad arranged with the church. He must have gotten paid, he wouldn't have done it just for free. But he drove that bus on out toward you all, your house, and on up by Bud Martin's, and on back the way we used to run the farm, and back down Goose Creek, all the way down to Goose Creek every Sunday.
To go to church.
Yeah, and all of those shawls, remember the shawls that Richard Still
mm-hmm.
auctioneered? Mm-hmm. Richard was a grandchild, but he lived there. And Mr. and Ms. Shawl, the older people, they all came out. I remember them all coming out and getting on the bus and going to church, and he picked up a full load. Now, like I said, we never talked about money at home because there was never any, but apparently they paid him. He couldn't have done it, mm-hmm. I'm sure, without being paid. But I remember even he had to walk, gosh, a quarter of a mile up that road. Mercy. He was an older man. He had a farm out there and a beautiful big house. And he walked up there and met that bus, and went to New Providence mm-hmm. every Sunday. And we just took a lot of people, and then when they had, what did they call the evangelical meetings?
Revival
meetings. When they had those, Dad rode the bus, took the bus, and then he did it to a Bible school. Had Bible school, so you see, we just spent a lot of time. It was sort of annexed. Now, RJ and them never went to church, which I don't understand why. But but anyway, everybody else did. But anyway, it was a big part of our lives, and because Mother and Dad were you know, into it, and Dad was always an elder or a deacon or something. And of course, he didn't allow women to do it. At that time, you had to be in church and keep your mouth shut. So, anyway, but we just, you know, we were just busy all the time. We really were. And, gosh, some of the ministers, it was amazing. I told somebody down at our church the other day, I just couldn't believe it. Here we were, backwoods Presbyterians, but we always had doctors, preachers with DD or not PhD, but whatever it is in their name. I wrote them down, the ones I knew, Dr. C. Morton Hanna. And of course, they had a bunch of children, like four. And Edwin Bell was in my class at school. So I got to know, that was the reason I knew the Hannahs. And then the Walthalls came, and they were young, real young, and had a couple of young children. And then when the war came along, he went into the military. But now he was a doctor. And then Dr. White came. And of course Dick was in my class and graduated with us. And Dick tells a story. He came up, I had our 50th anniversary here, and of course it was after Boyd died, which is tough, but anyway, I was determined, I was president of the class, so I just felt like I had to do it, so I did. And Dick came, first time we'd ever, none of us had seen Dick since we graduated. But anyway, he said that he came from a bigger school, and where people just did as they wanted to. Well, he came to Brownsburg, and he said, you all were still marching into school with the drum. He said, I couldn't believe you had this drum that I had to march in. And he was exactly right. We did. Miss Trimmer had us marching into the drum. And anyway, then Dr. Hutchison, and you remember Dr. Hutchison, his children, well, Nancy was the youngest, but she was younger than I am. The boys were gone. But I did get to know Dick Hutchison, who preached at the Presbyterian Church in Buena Vista. And he and his wife lived over there, so I got to know them after, you know, we came up here. So, anyway, the Hutchisons, I guess, were the last that I knew. Out there. But I did get to meet that young man that everybody was crazy about. And I think he left and went to Ohio.
Oh, John Lewis?
John Lewis, yes. Yes, I got to meet him and I liked him and his wife. They used to have lunch in here, this was after I retired, at one of the restaurants.
She was a lawyer and worked in town.
Exactly, she was. And she helped draw up Randall's will. And I get accused real often going down and telling him what to do. I didn't even know he was doing it. I mean, but you know, it's like that senator that we sent up to Washington one time, and he got voted the dumbest senator in the Senate, and what do you say after that? I mean, if somebody thought I told him what to do, what would I, you know, how would I contradict that? So I just got it. I didn't even know he was doing it. But I had met the wife, but not down there. But he always came to these luncheons or dinners or whatever they call them. And so I really enjoyed that. And of course I went with Randall, that was after Boyd.
Oh, it was when the High Nooners?
Or whatever they call themselves, that's exactly what it was. And I went with him, and I really enjoyed him. One time we were sitting out there just talking and yakking, and they were talking about what he was talking about, the fees that he charged and so forth. And I just said, what do you charge to marry somebody? And oh, God! I mean, the whole place went up. I didn't even thinking about it, for gosh sake, I was not going to marry. Well,
it's on. We're talking about Randall Wade.
Exactly. I was talking to Ed one day. It was probably when I took that stuff that I gave him from Dad's office down there. And he said, you know, I think you really ought to put some kind of a plaque or something in the cemetery. Because he said, I get so many people coming and asking me if I know where somebody's buried and so forth. And he said, it will be just like they never lived.
Mm-hmm.
Because both of them were cremated, mm-hmm. you see. And he said, and I thought that was real thoughtful of Ed. I really did. Because it just hadn't entered my mind. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, of course I'll do it. Because when you're in the military, and I had done this for Boyd, you can get a plaque thing from the military for free. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything. You just fill this form out. And with Boyd, it only took about a month. And that thing came in. And then I had Hamricks make one as near to that. And so both of them are in the cemetery. And Ed said, well, you know how to do it. How about you doing it? And he said, we'll put it on Mrs. Wade's lot. There's a lot of room left. And we'll put it on there, and everybody will know. So that is exactly what I did. But it took over a year for it to come.
From the military?
So many World War II guys were dying, you see. Uh-huh. And it took over a year to get that. And I had said, well, we'll just have a little ceremony in the graveyard. But after a year, it just seemed mm-hmm. to me like mm-hmm. it was just, you know, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to. So I just had Charlie Hamrick take it out there, and it's on his on the Wade's lot, and it's his and his wife's birthday, and when they died, and when they were married, and so forth. So I really thank
it was a good
Ed real often for that, because that was a thoughtful thing. I was just too busy what I was doing, but I'm sure it was terribly important. And it just, it didn't even enter my mind. But that's exactly right. Nobody would ever know mm-hmm. that the two of them lived. They didn't have any children. And both of them were cremated. So, but anyway, I'm real proud of that. I was out there at the cemetery last Saturday. Jimbo married Nancy Hall from Buckingham County, and her father and all of them had been over in Buckingham forever, and he recently found a whole thing that had been written by one of his aunts way back there someplace, and he found out that he had some relatives buried in New Providence Church, in New Providence Cemetery. And we found out that guys who lived in, some of his relatives who lived in Buckingham came over here to down where the moneymakers live, where the Browns had established mm-hmm. a school, mm-hmm. Bellfield. They came over here to go to school, at that school. But anyway, these, let me see, gotten their last name. Anyway, we took that cemetery book that those girls mm-hmm. did and found where it was. And Nancy's father and a friend of his and Nancy had been over here before, and we had found it. But we took the book and went out there again, and we said, well, how in the world did we find that thing? And finally we did. We found it, and it said it was row 40, but I said, it's not marked. But we must have counted them off, you know.
It's hard, yeah. We need to get some kind of row markers.
Row markers, that's what we need. But apparently Tom, Nancy's father, had sense enough to count it from the bottom. And we knew it was back in the top old cemetery along there, and we found them both times. So anyway, that's interesting. And like Ed said, you know, if somebody might come along right. looking for the Wades, mm-hmm. well, where's Randall? Mm-hmm. Of course, John, I guess, is buried up in Northern Virginia someplace. And there were just two of them. And but that just, I'm so pleased, and I tell Ed every time I saw him after that, that I was so glad he thought of that. So that was done. He said, look, I've got the idea, but you do the work. I said, I believe this is where I came in. Oh, it seems to be my forte. I do the work.
It's a good way to be.
Well, you know, I just like doing things. Mm-hmm. I do. But Deb was just marvelous. She really was. She got the scripture and read it, and then we just, you know, I put the ashes out, and everybody had flowers and rings and so forth, and put it out on the water. It was really, and the guys there, I mean, it was fine with them. They seemed to, people do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was unbelievable. But, and he said that that's where they used to fish off of that, where they lived down there so long, you know, and mm-hmm, they fished off mm-hmm. of that pier. And that was just important. And he said that even back when he was still in the Navy, his wife would go down there and fish, and she would see his ship coming up the thing. And then she would be home by the time he, I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable. But, gosh, you know, he went in the Navy in 36. He graduated from high school in 1936 and was in, and I just wish that there'd been somebody doing it. I mean, he went all through the war. He really had... Mother was right there. Dad, I got right in the car with that man, went back to Lynchburg. They lived out near Randolph Macon Women's College. Mm-hmm. They had a house out there, just you go through Randolph Macon and back in there. And they took me on back in there. And I stayed with them until a room came available where Ann was living. And I helped her dust and do all these great things. And then I went back and lived where Ann was living then. And I liked, see, we didn't have typing at Brownsburg. We didn't have any, I didn't even know what a typewriter looked like. And I was fascinated. I liked doing, and shorthand, I loved shorthand. And they had some really good teachers over there. And I got to like all the girls who were living with us. And I stayed until I graduated. And then you don't remember Anna Martin Powell, I'm sure, but she and her parents lived out at Wade's Mill. They lived where Jimmy and Blair live now. And Mr. Powell worked for Mr. Wade all the time. So she had just graduated. She graduated with my brother a year ahead of me in school. And she and I were great buds. We dated boys together and stuff. And so she couldn't decide what she was going to do. So she was working down at one of those plants in Waynesboro. I've forgotten which one. Working down there. And so I called her and told her about this fun that I was having over there. And she said, well, you know, I think that would be great fun. So she came over there. Just right got there, but like I did. And then in the meantime, Winston came back from service. And Winston, Mr. Wade was going to retire from the mill. And Winston, I guess, had married Jane. And they were going to live in a big house. And I guess the Wades then went to Rafine and bought that gorgeous house. Okay. But anyway, and Winston wanted Mr. Powell, of course, to keep on working because he worked for his daddy forever. Mr. Powell said, no, I will not work for anybody who's younger than I am. And he meant, who's serious. He would not. So he went over to Craigsville. He found a people who owned a flour mill like that. And there was a house that they lived in close to the mill. I think it was the Ramsey's mill. And they made flour just like the Wade's. And so he and Miss Pell moved over to Craigsville while Anna Margaret was in Lynchburg, see? And she was an only child. And she just didn't want to go to Craigsville. Of course she didn't. And she'd come home when we came home for the weekend. She always came to my house. I mean, she was not going to Craigsville. She did not like Craigsville at all. She wasn't going. Well, she didn't like shorthand. So she took the bookkeeping part of it. And that was her forte. And she really excelled. She sailed through that. And and she was looking at staying in Lynchburg. And she was going to work for one of the car companies. She already had this job. But somehow she began to think a little more of that, because all the people she knew were going to leave, you see. Mm-hmm. And she just would be left over, and she didn't know about working in that car place where they sold cars and so forth. So she thought maybe she ought to go home and kind of see if she liked Craigsville. So she loved Craigsville and married Walter Ramsey, who had, and she worked, she did work for a car place over there 35 or 40 years. Mm. And then she, Mr. Powell died, and Miss Powell moved from the mill down to a little place in Craigsville. And then Anna Margaret married Walter Ramsey, and they went across to Marble Valley. They had a great big farm. And she and Walter died, but she and her son, her son's wife, are still living in Marble Valley. She loved Craigsville, got to know everybody, and I used to visit her all the time. We used to ride bicycles before I got married, all that kind of stuff. But and Anna Margaret's still over there, and I'm going to see her this summer, if it kills me. She came when Boyd died, and she came to the party when I retired, and she came to Patty's wedding. But I never seemed, for some reason, I never seemed to get over there. But
well, you better hurry up if you're going to get there this summer. Summer's almost over.
Exactly. It is fall, and I plan to go in the early spring when it would be pretty in Goshen Pass. And I was going to take a couple girls who didn't know anything about Goshen Pass, you know, and was going, I never got that.
I know. I have good intentions, too.
So do I. I just have all these things I want to do, and I just am going to do it. But anyway, that's the way I got over there. And then I just, Boyd Stewart wouldn't let me alone. He said, Lou, you don't have to go over there. And I still wanted to go. I still wanted to go. But I gave it up. So here I am. Oh, Lord, I think it was all for the best, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but sometimes... When mother was sick for so long, my sister said, see, why didn't you go over there? Now you'd have known what to do. But anyway,
it's funny how things work out.
It is. It's amazing. You just, you know, and like I have said so often, the silly little decisions that you make, mm-hmm. I mean, like getting in that car with that man, changed my life completely. Oh, Lord, didn't even give it a second thought. I just knew I was going somewhere. It didn't matter where. But, you know, things were so different then. And, you know, you didn't have to sweat getting in anywhere. I mean, I did have Latin. Yeah, Blair, Terrell told me, Blair Wade, that's the reason she went down to Portsmouth, because she didn't take Latin in high school. And you had to have Latin in order to go to nurse's training. And Portsmouth was one place you didn't have to, and that's why she went down there and went in training.
Oh.
But see, I had my Latin. I had 3 years of Latin. Miss Trimmer taught. That's another thing she did. She taught Latin.
She.
3 years of Latin, and we read Caesar. I mean to tell you, in Latin. At this little bumpkin high school over here.
She must have been amazing.
It was unbelievable. It really was. Now, the only person I ever had heard anybody say anything about her was Jimmy. And Jimmy Wade. And he said, Lou, you know, I know all those things are right, and she was marvelous and all that. But he said, you know, there were so many people, kids who quit school because she just demanded so much and they couldn't give it. And she had no patience with anybody who couldn't give it. And Jimmy's right. I know people who did quit. The people who needed it most, see, were the people that quit. But she you got it, man. There were no two ways about you decided to take Latin. You're going to speak Latin. Oh, Lord. So she was something. She really was. Yep, we had 3 years of Latin.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. And see, I was much more interested in Latin than I was in math. I didn't care a thing about math. It didn't interest me at all. But Miss Rosnell Patterson was a marvelous math teacher. Boyd said he knew as much as any of his college guys. I mean,
Brownsburg has a sort of a tradition of good education.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's just no question about it. And of course, that one teacher, I don't know if Mac had her, I'm sure he remembers her. Ms. Halteman, have you ever heard him talk about Ms. Halteman? I never had her, but she taught Boyd something like some kind of science. When they cut up frogs and that kind of stuff.
Biology.
Yeah, biology. And Marjan, who was 3 or 4 years behind, had her for biology. Both of them took biology. See, that doesn't interest me. Ooh, I wouldn't have done that for anything.
But you wanted to be a nurse?
I wanted to be a nurse. Oh, God. Anyway, that's right. I why did they want you to have Latin instead of biology? Oh, gosh. Well, anyway, they were both in Ms. Halterman's class, but not at the same time, but at different times. And we, after we were all married, we used to flummox around together, all kinds. I mean, we went trips to Nova Scotia and every place. Anyway, you haven't lived until you heard Boyd and Marjan talk about Ms. Halterman. That is a show. That was a real show when those two got together. Anyway, the one story, and I told this last high school reunion that we had, and this was Boyd's story, because I didn't. Miss Halterman was the kind, she was sort of a old-looking woman, and she wore clothes all kind of floppy, and wore dark dresses, you know. And they said she wore the same old dress all the time. I don't know if she did or not. And they said she had a PhD, so she wasn't dumb. But somehow something happened to her mind. She sort of went, somebody said she wound up in Western State, so I don't know. But anyway, she taught up there for 4 or 5 years. The one story, one of the Swisher boys, Henny Swisher, that's all that family's, he's next to the youngest. He was in that class. He was in my brother's class, but he was taking biology with Boyd. I guess it was biology. I don't know what it was. Anyway, something she was teaching. And they were in the same class. And, yeah, it was biology because they had to draw the things, you know. Anyway, Henny was in there, and Boyd passed his, he drew his thing and wrote his story and did it all right, and turned it in, and he got an A+ on his. Well, Henny hadn't turned his back in. He said, boy, let me have yours. So Boyd gave it to him. He erased the grade and erased Boyd's name, put his name on there. These were seniors in high school. Put Boyd's name on there. I guess Boyd was a junior. Put his name on there and passed it into Mrs. Halterman. Well, it came back with a C, on it. And it didn't stop there. Henny took it, said, Miss Halterman, now, this is the same paper. This is the same paper that Boyd Stewart said. Now, see, right there is his name. Right where I erased it. And you gave him an A+. See, you can see it right there. You gave him A+, and you gave me a C. Now I want to know why that. She said, oh, boy. And the boy would just go, oh, okay. And he gave him, she gave him an A+. I mean, that story never ended. Oh my gosh, I told that thing and I said, I will give it to Boyd Stewart now. It's his story, if it's a lie. But Henny Swisher said it was true. I saw Henny Swisher, I think after Boyd died, he said, well, it sure as hell was his idea. It sure as hell was true. Oh, Lonnie. Oh, but there funny. Was just story after story when Marjane and Boyd got together. And one of, oh, that reminds me, she did. But the only one I remember is the one Henny Swisher. I mean, that just is just unbelievable. In the first place, he should have been expelled and Boyd forgiven it to him. I mean, oh, Lord of mercy.
Oh,
but they said, and I've heard them laugh about, they used to lock each other in the closet and say, and she came, well, now where is such and such? She and they said, well, he's in the closet. Well, what is he doing there? Not ever, don't ever do that. You know, well, what is he doing in the closet? Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
What a crowd.
What a crowd. It's exactly right. Oh, love. But boy, you didn't do that in Miss Stewart's classes.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Carl Newcomer took Latin 1 year with me. And I tell you, Miss Trimmer spent a half of every class jumping on him. He never did what he was supposed to do. He just knew he was going to get it. I talked to him just recently. He still remembers. But he hung in there. He didn't quit.
Good for him, wow.
But anyway.
Well, I probably better go.
Well, but it is.